Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and reading verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And our subject this morning is the star of great joy, the star of great joy. Well, it is a great joy to see so many of you here this morning, this Christmas morning, when we gather particularly to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and to rejoice in it together. And the best way we can rejoice in the Lord Jesus and the best way we can remember the birth of the Lord is by opening up the Bible, by looking at what the Holy Scriptures have to say about the Lord. And we remember, of course, we as a church, this is the position of our church, that when we consider these things and when we look at the Bible and consider the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, we are reading a historical account. This is not something that is made up. This is not something that is a myth. It is not presented that way in the Bible. It is set as a historical account in a historical time, in a historical place. We have the name of those who were ruling, the Romans, and those who were in charge at the time. This is set in a very historical context. And as I often say, and as I have already prayed, the Lord Jesus Christ is a historical figure, and in fact, he is the man who has had the most impact on the whole of history. You can add the influence of everyone else, all the other kings, all the other queens, all the other dictators and emperors and so on. They haven't had even half the impact that the Lord Jesus Christ has had on world history, on true world history. So he is a historical figure, a mythical figure, cannot possibly have such an impact on reality, on the world. And this is a historical account. This is what we believe, of course, the members of this church. And there are many historical aspects that I could bring out from our time together this morning. But my main focus really is going to be on the star that we read of in this chapter, the star that was followed by the wise men from the east, the wise men from the east. Now, something just to clarify before we go into this account, seeing as we're leaning on the accuracy of the historical context here. Sometimes you will have Christmas cards, and I'm sure many of you have sent Christmas cards, that will picture the wise men as having been present in Bethlehem on the day or on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. This is the popular perception of it, that the wise men or the three kings — they weren't three kings, if we're going by the biblical account, they were wise men, they were magi. But the account that we read here is not that they were actually in Bethlehem on the day when Christ was born. They were not there. The shepherds were there, of course. Yes, that's according to the Bible, but not the wise men. The wise men were somewhere else. They were somewhere very far from Bethlehem. They were in a far-off country in the east, perhaps Persia or Babylon, but they were not in Bethlehem. They, of course, saw the star. They saw the star that was there that night, but they were not actually in Bethlehem, but they saw the star and then they began to make their way to Bethlehem. We don't know how long it took them to get to Bethlehem. Some say perhaps that it took them quite some time, some months, even perhaps a year, some will say, because when you read in this account, they're not actually in a stable when they see them, they're in a house. So we're not sure exactly when the wise men got to Bethlehem to worship the Lord Jesus, but they certainly weren't there on that Christmas night. That is sadly something that many people believe, but if we're going according to the Bible, it was sometime after the birth of the Lord Jesus that they finally made their way to find him. But nevertheless, the star plays a vital part in their finding the Lord Jesus Christ, and a vital part in this account. And this is what I want to present to you this morning, very briefly as I can, as simply as I can, because what I want to present to you is how the star, when we think about this star that the wise men followed, well, it teaches us a lot about the message of the Bible, the main message of the Bible, the gospel message, the message of salvation. The star teaches us, or has a lot to teach us about that great message that runs right at the heart of the Bible. So let me begin by presenting my first heading, and hopefully these things will begin to make sense. My first point this morning is the star was a light in a dark place. The star was a light in a dark place. Well, this is, of course, what a star is. If you had to define a star, or one of the ways in which you could describe a star, what is it? It's a light in a dark place. We see stars at night, often only at the dead of night. And the night sky is, well, it's pitch black. And the stars, they are obviously lights in a dark place. And this was, of course, the case on this particular occasion. The wise men saw the star at night, and they observed it, and they noticed it, and they knew it was important. It was a light in a dark place. Well, my application is very obvious. Doesn't this teach us something about the message of the Bible? The gospel message itself is a light in a dark place. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, this world, the world in which we live in, yes, there are some joys. Yes, there are some wonderful things, and we hope to have wonderful things this day on Christmas Day. But the world in general is a dark place because there is so much uncertainty, there is so much anxiety, so much stress and fear and division and conflict and war. We see that. We've seen that in the past year. We see so much corruption. We see so much lying in the world. This world, generally speaking, it is a dark place. But the gospel, the message of the Bible, it brings light. It's a light in a dark place. It brings true light. It brings true hope. Not a false hope. Sometimes in this world, well, you see so often false hopes. You think people, politicians will bring happier days, and yet they don't. And you put your trust in various other things in your life, a new job or something else. But it only proves to be a false hope. Dear friends, what is presented here in the Bible, in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a true hope. A true hope. A promise, you can say, a promise that you can actually trust, a promise of true joy. This is what the gospel is. This is my first point, very simply. The star, what is it? It's a light in a dark place. The gospel message, what we present in the Bible, it's a light in a dark place in this world where there is so much to bring us down, to depress us. The message, the word of God, it is that light in the dark place. But dear friends, this is what you have to do. You have to look up to the light. This is what the wise men did. This is a sign of their wisdom. They were wise men. They looked up Imagine if they had never looked up, never seen the star. This whole account would never have been written, never would have happened. They never would have met the Lord Jesus Christ or seen him. You have to look up. And this is what, again, we preach from this pulpit in this church. Dear friends, look up to the heavens, consider spiritual things, consider heavenly things. Don't just think about things on the earth. There are so many people who live nowadays in the modern time in which we live, in the modern world. All they think about is just earthly things, the things of this world, work, rest, play, work, rest, play. They never think any higher. They never really look up. It's like, why are we here? What is the meaning of life? Why are we doing all of these things? Why are we working so hard? What is the point of this life? You have to look up for these things. Look up spiritual things. Look to the word of God, this word that has come from heaven, that is not of earth. This is the word of God. Consider heavenly things. Consider spiritual things. This is the message. Don't just live for earthly things, dear friends. You have to look for something higher, something greater, and then you will find true hope. You cannot find true hope here below. I've already mentioned this. The things of this life, the things of this world, they cannot truly satisfy us. You have to look up, just like the wise men did. Then they found the true hope, that which was pointing them to true hope and to true joy. Dear friends, look up. So that's my first point, very briefly and very simply. The star, it was a light in a dark place. The gospel is too, but you have to look up. You have to seek it. Don't just be overly concerned with the things of this world, with material things. They will ultimately never satisfy you. Seek the Lord. You must look up to these things. But my second point, this Christmas day, the star was universal. So the star was a light in a dark place. The star was universal. Now, what I mean by universal is not that the star was in the universe, although, of course, all of the star. When we look at the stars, we often forget this. The stars are so far away from us. They seem very near when we look at them. But, you know, the nearest star, I think the nearest star other than the sun is about 25 trillion miles away from us. It would take tens of thousands of years in one of our spacecraft to get to the nearest star. So it's so far away from us, but, well, it seems so near because, the star, it sort of brings heaven and earth together in a sense. But what I mean by universal, what do I mean by universal? Well, the star was for all people. The star, of course, it's in the heavens. It's not just limited to one region, to one nation, or to one people. And this is the nature of the gospel message, a very simple application. The star doesn't belong to one nation or one group of people, neither does the gospel. The gospel is for all of us. The invitation goes to all. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Yes, we read that he was the king of the Jews, but those from other nations, the nations all around, were invited. That was the purpose of the star. The wise men, they were from a far off country. They weren't in Bethlehem. I've already explained that. They were from a far off country in Persia or Babylon, and yet the star was inviting everyone from all the regions, all the nations, come and see the king of the Jews. He's a king for all, not just one people, one isolated region. Of course not. The star is universal. Dear friends, that's the same with the gospel message. The gospel message is not just for one people. It's not just for the Jews or for Israel. It's for all. That's what the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they were instructed to go out and to preach the gospel to every creature, go to all the world. And that's what they did. The Apostle Paul went out throughout the whole world, throughout Asia Minor and what we now know as Europe and all the other apostles, and every preacher of the word preaches to everyone. There's no prejudice. We don't just preach to those who are upper class or middle class or even lower class. All are invited, no matter where you are from, no matter what your background, your history, whether you're an ex-convict or anything like that, come in and hear the word of God. This is universal, just like the star. It didn't belong to any country or land or nation. Anyone could look up and see the star. It's universal. And this is exactly what the gospel is all about. Every single one of you are invited. Doesn't matter if you don't feel spiritual. It's not just for people who feel spiritual or for people who feel religious. It's for everyone. But you see, this is the tragedy of it all. This is the tragedy that even though everyone is invited, so few people will come. Now, we don't know how many wise men actually came. Some people say that it was only three. The reason we get three is because there were only three gifts that were given to the Lord Jesus. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there were only three wise men. There may have been more, there may have been less. But the point is, there weren't many who came from the East. We only read of these wise men. And this, again, is the nature of the gospel. The gospel invitation goes out to all, but there are only so few who actually respond to it, only so few who actually seek the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. You know, even when they get to Jerusalem, and even when they go to see Herod, Herod is not bothered about actually going with them to see the Lord Jesus. We know that Herod ultimately wants to murder the Lord Jesus, but he doesn't bother going with them to see where he is. And the chief priests and scribes, they are not bothered either. They just say, well, perhaps he's in Bethlehem somewhere. You go and search. You go and search diligently. This is the nature. This is what is so tragic. The gospel message has come into the world. Everyone is invited, but so few people actually seek and find the great treasure and the great joy that there is in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much to rejoice in when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know him, you know God. That is the marvel of this account, the marvel of what we consider when we think of the Lord Jesus. He is God, the Son of God, equal with God the Father. He came down from heaven to earth. He was born into this world. This is why he has so much impact on world history. Not because he was a mere man. Ordinary men, they don't have that much impact. Or just a mere prophet or a magician. That's ridiculous. He was the Son of God. He was who he said he was. And he is born into this world. When we know him, we know God. He said to one of his disciples, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father, we are one. He is God. If you want to know God, you have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the greatest experience you can ever have, to know the Lord Jesus, to know the living God, to know his blessing, to know his smile upon us. Dear friends, this is what you are missing out. Don't just think about the Lord Jesus just for one day in a year. You can know that joy and that peace in your life all the year through, that light of life all the year through. Dear friends, there are so many things I could say. My third point, well, the star led them. The star led them. They followed the star. This is a very obvious point. They saw the star in the east, and then they followed it, and it led them to Christ. It led them to Christ. Well, very obviously, the gospel application. This is what the gospel message does. Why am I preaching this message? It's to lead you to Christ. It's not to lead you simply to religion. I don't want you to be simply a religious person. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of us have gone out onto the streets preaching, and this is what we declare to the people on the streets in this neighborhood. We're not just saying, come to this church. On one hand, I wouldn't care if you ever come to this church at all. I'm not going out onto the streets to get you into the church. I'm going out onto the streets to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves. It's not this church. It's not this pastor. If you want to know true peace and true joy, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. And this is what the star is doing. The star is leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to anybody else, not to any religious person, not to the king, not to King Herod, leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, the wise men, they had to leave the place where they were, just very briefly. They had to leave their home. They had to leave their place in the east and come to seek the Lord Jesus. Dear friends, that in itself is a picture. When you seek the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to repent. It's a picture of repentance. You have to leave behind your old life, as it were, and you have a new life in Christ. You begin a new life in the Lord Jesus. It's a picture of repentance. This is what the Christian life is. It's one of faith, but it's one of leaving behind the old things and turning to the Lord in faith and trusting in Him. We often describe it in this way. This is what happens to a Christian. It's as though the old person has died. When somebody is saved, when somebody is converted, the old person has gone. And everyone will notice it. What happened to that person? They used to live for the world. They used to live for material things. But now they seem to live only for God. Now they seem to live only for heavenly things. What has happened to this person? It's as though this person has died and now they are a new person. This is what happens to us. Christian conversion. We leave the old place, the old person, and we are brought into a new place, just as the wise men had done. But it's because we understand what Christ has done for us. We die to ourselves because we know that Christ has died for us. And this is really why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He came into the world, well, we read it earlier in Matthew chapter 1. The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This world is a dark place because of sin. Man is sinful, and there's nothing he can do about it. One of the great tragedies of this modern world is we have so much luxury, we have so much technology, and yet we cannot solve even the most basic problems in the world. In fact, it seems as though the world is getting worse. The more advanced we get, the more education, the more wealth, it seems as though the world becomes a darker place. Man cannot solve the problem of his sin in the world, or even as us as individuals. Every one of us, myself included, we think of the past year, and we can think of many times when we have done things that we regret, or we're ashamed of, or we know that was wrong. We know these things. We can't solve our sin problem. It's only Christ who saves us from our sins. He saved us from our sins, not simply by being born into the world, but by his death on the cross. Now, I mentioned that the gifts that were given by the wise men, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm not going to speak about them now because it's too late. But myrrh, do you know what myrrh was? Myrrh was a valuable spice that was used not necessarily for babies, for newborns. It was used for anointing the dead, for dead bodies. So in the gifts that were given to Christ as a babe, it was as though we were already being pointed to his death, why he actually came into the world, not just to be born or to live, He came to die on the cross because that's how our sin problem is solved. We have all sinned, sinned against God, sinned even against our own conscience. But Christ died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins in our place. Christ has died for us, and we are forgiven, we are washed, we are cleansed by his blood. This is the great message of the Bible. And even here in this passage, even in the gifts that are given to the baby Jesus, we see a prophecy of his death, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is why we trust in the Lord Jesus ultimately. We will all have to stand before God one day, but a Christian knows that his sins are forgiven. Christ took the punishment for my sin because he loved me and he gave himself for me. Therefore, I am safe. Therefore, I am saved. The Lord Jesus has indeed saved his people from their sin. But dear friends, let me come to my final point. And it is simply this: the star gave great joy. Look at verses 9 and 10 again. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They had great joy when they saw the star. Now, one of the reasons, let me just mention this, we've got just a little bit of time. One of the reasons why they were so joyous when they saw the star was because it seems, according to the account, that they had actually lost sight of it just for a little time. They saw the star in the east, but it seems that when they came to Jerusalem and all the incident with Herod, they lost sight of it. And then they rejoiced because they saw it again. Verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, it went before them. So for a time, it seems that they had lost sight of the star, and when they saw it again, it gave them great joy. You know, there's an application even in that. You know, it is quite common for people who begin seeking the Lord Jesus. There's perhaps a time in their life when they begin seeking the Lord Jesus and they want to know him. Suddenly, well, then they lose sight of the Lord Jesus. The things of the world come into their life. Great troubles and calamities come into their life. And suddenly they lose sight. They lose sight of the star. They lose all interest in Christ. But dear friends, if there's somebody like that here, look at the wise men. They found it again. They found it again, and there was great joy. And the message really is this: it's never too late. It may be that you, well, when you were younger, maybe you went to Sunday school and you did believe in some way, but now you've lost sight of the star. You've lost sight of the gospel message. You've lost all interest. You can find it again, just like the wise men did. Perhaps maybe even as an adult, you heard the gospel and it made sense to you. But then, of course, well, other matters, other trials of life come in. Dear friends, you can find it again, because when you do, there'll be great joy. This is what we read here. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They knew that their search hadn't been fruitless. They knew that the Lord had led them to that which would give them great blessing and great joy in their lives. And this is what we always say: why would you not seek and find the Lord? When you find him, anybody who has found the Lord is never disappointed. There is no regret when you truly seek him and find him. There is no regret at all, because he gives you so much joy. On the other hand, if you just live for things in this world, there is so much regret. You work and you work and you work, and the things that you receive, they're not worth it. You know, I often give this quote. There was this novelist whose novel made the big time, and he became a millionaire overnight. a millionaire three times over. And so you say to yourself, well, he's made it. Surely he's a happy man. But when he gave an interview, he said to the interviewer, you know, I wish somebody had told me that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. When you reach the pinnacle of your success, there's absolutely nothing there. It's all empty. That wasn't the case for the wise men, was it? When they found the Lord Jesus Christ, they were filled with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Perhaps it even surpassed their expectations. This is what the Lord gives us as opposed to the world. The world, you work so hard, it is so disappointing. Christ, he leads you, he blesses you, and there is everlasting joy when you seek him and know him. This is the great difference. Dear friends, this is all I have to say at this Christmas time. This is the message, so many lessons, just from that one star, that glorious star. And I do exhort you to seek and find the Lord for yourself. Don't just make it this day. Make it your endeavor, your determination this year to know that wonderful, exceeding joy in your heart for the coming year, for the rest of your days, for all eternity. It never ends. Christ has come that we may have everlasting life. And the prayer of this church and this pastor is that each and every one of us knows that joy for themselves. The gospel is universal, not just for some people, not just for the members of this church. Every single person knows that joy that comes with knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, may the Lord bless you all with a wonderful and joyous Christmas.